loving God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel, God of Shay, God of Taylor, God of Tyler and Kara, you call each of us by name. You call each of us by name to love and serve the broken and hurting world around us. But you do not send us out to do this work alone. You bind up our broken hearts, you mend our worried spirits, and you nourish us with your very presence. Through your words and your actions, you give us the strength we need to get up each day and to resist evil in this world, to build something better and more beautiful in this place. Be with us now in the sacred silence of this place. Quiet our hearts and focus our minds so that we can hear some desperately needed good news this day. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Some of you may have noticed that I wasn't here last Sunday, or you didn't. I don't care. It's fine. I was attending a conference for Presbyterian pastors called Credo. This conference focuses on cultivating the spiritual and physical, financial and vocational health of pastors throughout the denomination. All in all, it was a great experience. I learned a lot, and I was able to bring home a few simple practices that I hope will help me to be more connected with God and with you all and with myself over this next year. The conference served as an important reminder that while, yes, pastors do have a lot of work to do in their lives, it is deeply vital that we regularly stop and feed our souls. Otherwise, we simply cannot keep on with this pastoring work. One of the Credo Conference leaders explained it like this. He is an avid fisherman, and one of his best fishing experiences he ever had was when he was fly fishing in Colorado. He spent the day by himself in the middle of this beautiful ravine with a 16-foot pole standing in clear blue water up to his knees. At some point in the day, this mist started raining down on him and a beautiful rainbow appeared in the sky. He left the experience feeling inspired and rejuvenated. And then when he got home, he started feeling really sick. He was nauseated and he was so weak that he couldn't get out of bed. And so a doctor who was on the trip with him stopped by his room, and after examining him, he said that he thought he was severely dehydrated. Dehydrated, he said. How could I be dehydrated? I was standing in clear water all day. I had cool water rain on my face. I had a pouch of drinking water in my front pocket. I spent my day surrounded and inundated in water. How could I be dehydrated? But it turns out that he was deeply dehydrated. And he learned that day that although you can be immersed in good work, in holy work, you can be surrounded by these life-giving activities, but if you're not feeding yourself, if you're not drinking up your own physical, spiritual, emotional nourishment, then you're gonna make yourself sick. In my past 7 or 8 weeks here at Broad Street Ministry, I've had several people ask me about the demographics of you all, of this worshiping community at Broad Street Ministry. And I've told them that I feel like the quintessential Broad Street Ministry faith community person is a 20 or 30-something female who's also a social worker. Where are my lady social workers? Whoop, whoop. Yep, that's a thing. That's all to say. I elaborate and I explain that right now I feel like this community is made up of caretakers, of professors and nurses, of social workers and city year volunteers, of teachers and pastors and musicians and gardeners and artists of all kinds who tend to the physical, emotional, communal, spiritual needs of others. You all who were the ones who stuck around, who held down the fort during the raging storms of change at Broad Street Ministry, so many of you are the caretakers of the world, the advocates for others, the resistors of evils, the dreamers of better days. You all are the first to ask, what must we do to perform the works of God? You in your everyday life are already inundated in the sacred work of caring for others, of nourishing those broken by life circumstances. You are already immersed in holy activity, and you, yes, even you, are offered the opportunity to drink up that holiness for yourself. After Jesus feeds 5,000 of his followers with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, the crowd begins to ask Jesus questions about his identity. They want to know who he is, where he came from, and what he is doing on earth. They also want to know what they are supposed to do with their lives in light of Jesus' identity, asking him, what must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus tells them that their job is to believe in him, to believe in the God who is sending them nourishment they need to do their work in the world. And then in this strange, complicated, and highly ambiguous text, Jesus for a moment pulls back the veil of his own identity and boldly declares, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life, which means I am all the food that you need. I am the strength you need to get up in the morning. I am what will nourish you and keep you from starving in your good and holy work. Jesus' mission on earth is to give us life and to give it abundantly. Throughout the New Testament, there are 3 different forms of the Greek word for life: bios, psyche, and zoa. The first 2, bios and psyche, describe the basic physical and spiritual materials that make up life, where zoa goes much deeper. Zoa describes the absolute fulfillment of life. Zoa is that real, genuine life, the most thriving form of life, life perfected and whole and abundant. Jesus declares that he is the bread of life, the bread of Zoa, so that we may metaphorically, spiritually, and quite literally feed on him, ingest him, find our strength and nourishment and abundant life in him. As I shared earlier, each and every Sunday here at Broad Street, we share communion meal together. We do this in part because we believe in the transformative power of breaking bread with one another. And because we know how dining together can tear down all kinds of social and political walls between us. But we also celebrate the Lord's Supper together every week simply because we know that we need it. We need it. We need the spiritual nourishment offered to us at this table. We need to taste that full, abundant life. We need a moment when we stop talking about and doing God's righteous work on earth and when we get to experience God's presence for ourselves. We, the caretakers, the defenders of truth and justice, the hustlers of the holy, we are constantly surrounded by sacred activity. We are entrenched in God's holy work, and if we are going to survive in this work, we have to ingest some of that holiness ourselves. So today is World Communion Sunday, which means that Christians all over the world across various denominations are celebrating the Lord's Supper in an act of unity and oneness. Today, And every Sunday, we know that we are somehow mysteriously, absurdly, unexplainably united with God and with one another through this meal. We are united with one another in our own struggles and battles against injustice. We are united and we are nourished, strengthened so that we can get up and continue to fight for what is right tomorrow. Friends, you all are invited to this table to bring all of your worries, the things that are weighing you down, to bring your doubts and concerns to this table. You are allowed to let go, even for just a moment, of the notion that you have to hold it together for others. You are offered at this table rich and fulfilling life, and you are invited to take it for yourself. But here's the trick of this table. We come to this table because we know we need it. We come to this table because we need that spiritual nourishment to keep doing the holy work that we're already doing. But by caring for ourselves, by nourishing ourselves, by drinking deep from the well of life offered to us at this table, you will become so full of abundant life that you'll want to just simply offer it to others. The natural result of experiencing something that fills you up is that you'll want to share that nourishment with everyone around you. I'm going to tell you one more story about this abundant life offered at this table, and then we'll actually get to this whole thing of sharing a meal together. I recently heard this story from a pastor named Reverend Billy Honor. Billy is a pastor at a Presbyterian church plant in Atlanta, and he likes to refer to himself as a community theologian, which means he likes to spend his time on the streets of his community playing basketball and getting to know the kids in his Atlanta neighborhood. There's one particular kid who Billy, he's just crazy about. Billy just thinks he's the coolest little kid in the world. And one day this kid came up to Billy and said, "Hey, Billy, next week it's going to be my birthday." Billy's like, "That's awesome, man. What are you going to do for your birthday?" The kid's like, "I don't know. My parents have to work, so I'm not really sure if I'm going to do anything." So Billy thought about it for a moment. And he said, "You know what? On your birthday, I'm going to come visit you. Is that all right? Would that be all right if I come visit you on your birthday?" He says, "Yeah, sure. That'd be great, Billy." And so Billy starts to wonder, what can I bring this kid for his birthday? I got to bring him something. I need him to have something for his birthday. And he thinks, you know what? I'm going to bring this kid some ice cream. He loves ice cream. And so the day of the kid's birthday, Billy goes out. He gets a scoop of ice cream. He hurries to where the kid is because he knows the kid would make fun of him if he showed up with like half-melted ice cream. So he shows up and he taps the kid on the shoulder and he says, "Hey, you know, happy birthday, man. I got you ice cream for your birthday." And the kid loses his mind. He runs a circle around the entire street and says, "I got ice cream for my birthday." And he goes around showing all the kids his ice cream. And then he has all of his friends line up one after the other and says, "Look at the ice cream. I got this ice cream." And then the kid takes a giant lick of the ice cream and then proceeds to give every kid in line a lick of his ice cream. You get a lick, and you get a lick, and you get a lick. Everybody gets a lick. And then he turns to Billy and says, "Hey, Billy, we saved you some." Now, Billy's like a bit of a germaphobe, and he's counting how many kids have licked this ice cream already, but man, they're just so excited. And so he goes right in and he takes a big lick himself, and the kid's like, "Man, you're all right, dude, Billy." And that exactly, for me, is what the church is supposed to be. That's what this communion table is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about sharing what we have with other people, saying, "Man, this tastes so good, you gotta have a lick." This community is so good. This God is so good. This meal is so good. This nourishment, this acceptance is so good that you have to try it for yourself. Because that is the good news of this day. We be the church by sharing the goodness of the church. There are things in this place that are worth sharing with the people outside. And it's not a guilt thing. It's not an evangelism thing. It's just that we feel alive when we're here and we want to share that with other people. And so the good news of this day is that at this table, we know that absolutely everyone is invited to commune with us in this meal. You are invited, the young, the old, rich, poor, black, brown, white, citizen, undocumented, gay, straight, trans, baptized, unbaptized, sinner, saint. There is place for you at this table. There is food for you at this table. There is nourishment so that we can keep fighting the good fight that we're already doing. There is abundant life and energy and strength for you at this table. So come. Come here with all of your doubt and your fear and your worry about this broken world and take that abundant life waiting for you here. And then go out and share it with others. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we admit that there are some mornings where it is hard to get up, where the constant struggles of working for your justice and your righteousness in the world, it feels too heavy, when the world feels too dark and too broken. And yet you offer us at this table, in this space, nourishment. Good food, things that speak to our soul and revitalize our strength. We ask, loving God, that you would send your spirit so that we can be in your presence now, so that we can have the strength to continue to do the work you have called us to do. Help us to keep from becoming dehydrated and starving, but build us up, so we can be the people and the kingdom that you